Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instructions about washings, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance. Since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding Him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Thank you, the Word of God.
Amen.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Yeah, it's good to be here once again. Each time I have this opportunity, I'm always grateful because it's another moment for me to encourage myself and to study in the Word of God. I want to thank God for giving me this opportunity and for the church for giving me this privilege. What we'll be talking about, if you go along with the reading, with the Bible reading, we talked about having been being in the faith and falling away, that the end is even worse. I encourage us to read that passage, even up to verse 12 of that Hebrews chapter 6. But for us, this morning, what we'll be advising ourselves with is spiritual maturity. What is spiritual maturity? A key to Christian growth. We all know that we all need to grow, even from whether childhood or we are working in a place, we need promotion, or maybe in a relationship. We want our relationship to mature. The same way our spirit, our Christian life, we can't be or remain stagnant. The same way the church having existed for a number of years, is expected to grow. And so this morning, I would like to call our minds home for the need for us to grow as Christians. We can't just be a church goer. We can't just be named as Christian. We have to develop. We have to measure to the faith and the statue of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our text for this reading, the book of Philippians chapter 3, from 13 to 15.
Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but what thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and looking forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will be good, even this to you.
Thank you. I feel like that version of the Bible in verse 15. It said, let us therefore, as many as are mature. This King James Version says, as many that are perfect. Apostle Paul to the people of Philippians was encouraging them. He said he did not count himself as if he has achieved. He said, I see myself as I've apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are past and reaching forth to those things that are before. Verse 14, which I encourage our young people to write this particular verse down. He said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore be perfect and be like-minded. The need for us to grow as children of God can never be overemphasized. The Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion. He's seeking for whom he may devour. If you take your mind back into the Bible reading, it talks about the children of God and compare it to the ground that receives the rain and brings fruit. But at a time, if you bring stuff, that they will be gathered to be born. The Bible told us that if, as children of God, we refuse to grow, judgment and punishment is waiting for us at the end of time. The children of God are required to grow and become spiritually mature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 15. Growth and development are normal human natural requirement. If you give birth to a child, you expect it to grow, yes or no?
Yes.
If you are if you are doing a business, you want it to prosper, yes or no?
Yes.
If you begin a relationship, you want it to increase in terms of the kind of relationship that you share. The same way our spiritual life, even the society, you don't want the society to remain stagnant. You want to see development. You want to see progress. The same way as our Christian life, we cannot remain stagnant. There is a need for us to grow as children of God. The book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory now and forever. Our Apostle Peter emphasized that we need to grow. We are expected to grow. Because today you will notice that even people who have spent a long time in the church can fall away. And so the desire to grow is not about even your age. Sometimes, because you are spent a long time in the church, does not necessarily mean that you are mature in faith. And because you are coming to church every day, does not mean that you are mature and equipped with the necessary things for you to be a true child of God. Remember, as Christians, this is a journey. It is a race. It's like somebody beginning 100 meters. We all know of Olympics. It's not everybody that starts the race. We get the prize. The same way as Christian life. If we refuse to grow and be mature, there is no way we can get the prize. And God forbid, we run in vain. Just as physical maturity of the body involves the development of our body, spiritual maturity involves growth and maturation of our soul. And for us to grow as human beings, what do? We make sure we eat, right? We take care of our body, we nourish ourselves with good knowledge and understanding so that we can become mature person. The same way our soul needs to be nourished for us to be mature and grow as a child of God. It is a process. Becoming mature as a Christian is not automatic. It's a journey. It's a deliberate action. It's something that we need to cautiously nurture and cultivate. for us to get to that level. This morning we talk about marriage, and our brother mentioned that about divorce, and you know there are reasons. Of course, the original purpose of God is for man and woman to be together, but for exceptions, for reasons, for not being able, because marriage is a challenge. And if you don't understand, he said not everybody deserves to be married. If you don't know and measure to the knowledge and the stability and the wisdom to be in a relationship, sooner or later, it's either you remain in a chaos or the marriage will scatter. So for us to remain in Christ and continue to enjoy the blessing of being in Christ and the eternal crown that is reserved for his children, there is need for us to grow and to mature in faith. It is a process of aligning our will to the will and purpose of God, conforming our character to the image, of Christ, and becoming more like him in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12.
That I may know him and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of the sufferings may conform to the dead. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Thank you. Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. This is an interesting passage of the Bible. Do you know that there is a power in the resurrection of Christ? Like I said, it's not just becoming a Christian. There is a Lord that is in need. He said, that I may know him. You see, he's an apostle, he's been called, he's been preaching, still he desired to know and be manifested in the power of the resurrection of Christ. What do you think is the power of the resurrection of Christ? It's simply salvation. And he also go ahead and say, and in the fellowship of the suffering. A lot of people think that following Jesus is roses. No, my brother and sister. Apostle Paul called it fellowship of the suffering. What does it mean for us to have fellowship in the suffering of Christ? As Christians, the Christian life is full of sacrifices, and we must be able to get to that point that we can bear and withstand and fellowship in the suffering of Christ. And the world is full of so many fancies, so many things that can take you away. But when we come to Christ, you know, Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy. He said, my yoke. Do you know what a yoke is? A yoke is like something that a shackle you put in the neck of an oxen to plow. That's a yoke. He said, it's easy. So coming to Christ is not just free. It's sacrifice. It's deciding to take the burden of Christ, because the burden of Christ is lighter than the burden in the world. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering that is made conformable unto his death. If you put these two together, you compare it into dying. A Christian life is more like a life of death in Christ. Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. As a matter of fact, Christians are dead people, but our liveliness, our being alive, is in Christ. The reason why we are dead is because our passion and desire and the things that the world thinks is right We can no longer live our lives like that, but we are alive in Christ Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 2, the Bible told us that it is an evil thing for us, after we have known Jesus, to go back into the world. The Bible says the end is worse than the beginning. How can we achieve spiritual maturity? Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 5.
But also, for this very reason, give all diligence how to love faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, if you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For even that these things is short-sighted, given to blindness, and has forgotten that he was clean from his own sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you never stumble.
Yeah, the Bible told us that we should hold on to our faith. Our faith is that we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He encouraged us to add to our faith virtue. What is virtue? Good work. And to good work, knowledge. How do we acquire knowledge? By learning the way we are right now, by personal studies, by giving yourself into acquiring knowledge in the Word of God. Then, and to knowledge, temperance. It shows that it is not just knowing Jesus, it is not just about believing in Him. When we invite us to Christ, we tell ourselves, here about Christ, here is gospel, the good news, and you go to heaven. It doesn't end there. It says, add to your faith good works. And after that one, you need to add knowledge. You need to acquire knowledge. And that is the reason why Apostle Paul to Timothy, he said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. My dear brothers and sisters, if we don't give ourselves to studying, there is no way we can achieve spiritual maturity. And to knowledge, patience. He said, and to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Patience, you know, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So, it's not just about knowing Jesus. It's not just about accepting Him. It's about increasing in all of these good works. And to patience, godliness, and to godly brotherly kindness, and you go further, it talks about charity. He said, for if this thing be in you, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. I encourage us to write those things out and see how valuable and precious, if we can acquire these things into our life, we'll be rich and full in the knowledge of Christ. He still went ahead in verse 10. He said, wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So becoming baptized at the end of the journey of salvation is not the end. He said we need to make our calling sure. Then, apart from having these things, we have to be deep-rooted in the Word of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, to somebody, in one of his sermons, he asked him, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? He said, how readest thou? You see, Christianity is a religion of education. I remember Bagari mentioned this many times. If you don't study, you cannot grow, my brother, my sister. And in a recent study, it was said that we spend between 4 to 5 hours on our mobile phone. What do we acquire? Fake news. Things that are not profitable to us. But how much time do we give to Bible study? My brother, my sister, it's actually easy. You can program yourself once you wake up in the morning. You want to have any Bible apps, daily devotion, that you can give yourself unto. As many of the word of God that you consume will be in your thought and in your subconsciousness and will guide your daily life. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4b, it says, the just shall live by faith. So it is what you have read that can build your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved. If you don't study, how can you be approved? How can you know? For example, look at the video we are looking at. Do you know that honestly, I kind of see it in a different way? It's an imagined knowledge. And when you don't continue to study, how can you be established in what you think you know? In the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 26, that is the part where I mentioned that Jesus said, how readest thou? And I put it to us today, how readest thou? This is a question for you and me. How much time do you spend reading Bible material? How much time do you spend reading your Bible? And how many times have you gone back to look at the lesson that was taught in the church? How many times do you give yourself to attend church activities? The church has a program every Wednesday. How many times? Is it all the time that you are not available? Without studying, you cannot know. So I advise and I beg and I plead with us, let's give ourselves to study so that we can grow, we can know. The measure of the Spirit of God in you is the measure of the Word of God in you. You see, we say that we are not led by the Spirit of God. You know why? It is because the Word of God is not in us. Jesus said in the book of John 6:63, he said, the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So my brother, know today, the amount of the Spirit of God that lives in you is the measure of the Word of God that actually lives in you and that you manifest. Another way of becoming spiritually mature is expressing genuine love. Yes, love is used casually every time. But I tell you, expressing genuine love is one way to show that you're actually growing and becoming mature. Somebody described love and said, love is the demonstration of authentic action. You know, we can easily say that, yes, I love you. Yes, I care about you. Yes, we gather like this as angels. But when you behave, when you demonstrate it, that is when we can actually say that, yes, the love of Christ abounds in you. True love is not what you say, but it is what you do. John chapter 13 verse 34, Jesus encouraged us to love one another. In the book of Romans chapter 12, 9 to 10, the Bible says that love, I want you to write it somewhere. The book of Romans chapter 12, read it from verse 1 to the end. But where I want to point you to right now is verse 9 to 10. It said, love without dissimulation. That is how King James Version called it. But what is dissimulation? It means deceit. So many people claim we love. As we have like this, gather. We claim we love. Even in our family members, sometimes we see people who show as if they care. But when you go further, you will discover that it's just a piece of deceit. Love without preference. If we want to be mature, we have to be able to exhibit love without pretense. It is not as if I smile at you and really, I don't really mean I like you. How can we claim that you love me when you disregard me? How can you claim you love me when you relegate me? If we still do this thing, we are not mature and we are not growing as children of God. How can you claim you love me when you lie to me? We cannot be lying. You can't lie to your family member. You can't lie and be growing. Remember, if you don't grow, you can't receive the crown. When you are not seen to be feared, how can you claim you love me when your actions doesn't show you as being fair? The book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible encourages us that we should not love in words or in tongue, but in the truth. Another way to become spiritually mature is allowing the Holy Spirit. We need to give room for the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about vexing the Spirit. The Spirit actually pack his bag and run away when you don't allow him. So if you must go and you want to be spiritually mature, you have to allow the Holy Spirit in you. Open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. The Bible told us that from verse 29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye were sealed. My brother, my sister, when we become Christian, there is a seal, something like this. Can you see this? This is like a seal, a mark. We all have the mark of the Holy Spirit. But when we don't allow the Spirit to dwell in us by our evil character, bad communication, lack of genuine love, the Spirit can actually go away. Psalm 1, which I also want you to write it somewhere. Verse 1 to the end. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the counsel of the deceit, of the sinner. But this man, let's read it. Psalm 1. He said, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. How many of us choose to do family devotion? Yeah, it's an interesting thing. And like I said, each time I have this opportunity, it's a way to minister to myself wherever I'm lacking so that I can measure up. You see, family devotion is a way of growing and growing up ourselves. Let's give time, morning, evening devotion. Let's give time to read the passage of the Bible and minister the grace and the Holy Spirit in our family. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14. Let's be praised. Spiritual maturity helps us to distinguish evil from good. You know, the world is such a perverse place today that people see what is evil and they call it good. But when you are not grounded and fully equipped in the word of God, how can you identify what is right and what is wrong? Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 to 6. Trust the Lord with your heart and lean on Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. He said, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What are the signs that, oh, I am getting mature? One, showing the fruit of the Spirit. Showing the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit? The Bible says, every tree shall be known by its fruit. What type of fruit do people see in you? The fruit of the Spirit are joy, love, kindness, patience. You are so impatient. And it doesn't show the Spirit of God. The Bible says gentleness, kindness. I remember there's this definition I love to say. Kindness is the ability to love people more than they deserve. But today, you give me what you get. You deserve it. As Christian, it's not about deserving. It's about giving the right energy, giving the right things to people. That is how we can proclaim Jesus. And I'll advise you one more time. Please, never make Jesus your secret. Try and show it. It's a joyful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian because why? You know your right from your left. You know what you want. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. He said, bodily exercise profiteth little. That is all the things we do. But godliness is profitable unto all things. Having promises of things that are present and things that are to come. Psalm 34. He says, seek peace and pursue it. How much do we seek peace? It's not about seeking. He said we should pursue it deliberately. My wife taught me a lesson last night. And I heard it dearly. Sorry, I'm saying it here. You know, you have to consciously pursue it. That is how we are children of God. Easily forgiven. Do people hurt you and you can't let it go? My brother, my sister, you are not yet growing as a Christian. Remember, one of the passages we read when we started, and that is Philippians chapter 3. He used the word apprehended. Do you know the meaning of apprehended? Simply, arrested. When we come to Christ, we are already arrested in Christ. And when you don't let it go and let Christ to be in your control, all these things will be difficult. But we need to allow ourselves easily forgiving. Colossians 3:13. Being a lover of God. Are you a lover of God? You can only know you're a lover of God when you desire it. When you are there, you try, you be the one to make the move. Are you in a home? Are you the one that is the originator of peace? That is how we can know that we are actually growing. In conclusion, my brethren, let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, 29-32. Ephesians 4, 29-32. All right. You see, let no corrupt communication, I think we've read this page before, proceed out of the mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, and that it may minister grace to unto the hearer, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven you. My brother, my sister, the need for us to grow cannot be overemphasized. Let's today seek and pursue our Christian way so that we can become spiritually mature. And we can be like Paul in Philippians 3, that he said, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Finally, are you yet to be a Christian? Being a Christian is the best decision you can make. Some people think that once you become a Christian, you become docile, you will not be able to achieve your potential. I tell you, it's a lie. Christianity, being a Christian, is a wonderful thing. It opens the world to you. It opens your mind. It gives your life a meaning. You have to know Him. You have to believe Him. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing. You're hearing about Jesus today. Believe Him. You can't just be a follower. You can't just go to the church. If you have not made up your mind, you have to do it today. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus and be baptized. And baptism is the point where you become born into this beautiful and wonderful world of Christianity. May the Lord bless His word in Jesus' name.